The information and opinions presented in this podcast are based on research done at a particular point in time. The fields of medicine, surgery, psychology, etc. are constantly evolving as new studies and movements happen. Please take into account the year of any particular episode's publication, and as new information presents itself, we will do our best to release updated episodes on the topics. Listener discretion is advised for references to medical terminology of body parts. Unless otherwise stated, no one speaking on this podcast is a medical or legal professional and cannot provide medical or legal advice. Welcome to the Trans Field Guide. Now, you said that you essentially went stealth pretty much immediately, right?
I don't know if I can ever remember a time when I was not stealth, honestly. I mean, like, I'd have to really think about it for a hot minute, but I just don't think there was one. I think from go, the minute that needle went in my leg, or even further back, the minute I decided to tell my partner I was trans, I was like, and we're going to be stealth. Don't want anybody to know this about me. Period. Didn't matter who it was. Friend, family, did not care.
What kind of drove that decision for you?
I don't think I knew or even realized it at the time, but I think it was my own internalized transphobia. I think I wasn't entirely altogether happy that I was trans. I think it was more like I had to do this thing, and I knew that I had to do it. I wasn't jumping up and down with joy and excited that I have to do this thing. I was relieved that I figured out that I needed to a little bit, but I still wasn't just elated about it. I mean, like, does anybody really want to be trans? I mean, it's just kind of the card in the hand that you're dealt, you know, and you just make the best you can of whatever you get and whatever comes with it. So I think there was a whole lot of, like, self-hating and self-loathing that went into that transphobia that I was not willing to acknowledge until much, much later on down the road. And that probably sparked the whole thing off.
How do you feel like that might have affected your relationships that you had at the time?
I think it gave them definitely the wrong impression of what is trans and how to handle it, how to interact with it, and how to view it. My partners and friends and everything at the time, it gave them a huge misconception, like that it was something that should be hidden and not talked about, and that it was unacceptable for general discussion, and like that it just should, at all costs, all parts of it should be kept behind closed doors. That is definitely the impression I left them with. And that's not the case. It doesn't have to be that way. You know, if you choose to be that way out of necessity for some reason or whatever, it fits your particular situation, it's not unacceptable to live that way. Some people just have to. But it doesn't have to be that way for every single person in every single scenario all the time. And quite the contrary, the more of us that don't live that way, the better it will make it for all of us in the long run. Hindsight's 20/20, though. I couldn't see that then. The only thing I could see, hear, think, and feel, and taste then, because I was living, eating, sleeping, and breathing it, was all the things about transitioning that I didn't want to do or wasn't looking forward to, all the hard parts of it, all the things that I was ashamed of or felt weird about that I didn't want to share with people, or things I was afraid of being judged for, you know.
How do you think being stealth might have affected your ability to create new relationships with people?
Well, I didn't really know the answer to this either, but definitely it was prohibitive and limited, because when you, not that you have to out yourself to every single person, but if you're just open and honest about your identity with somebody, it puts you on this total transparency level with them. And usually when you want to start a friendship, that's kind of where you want to start. You don't want to start a friendship with a whole bunch of shit to hide and not being your genuine self, you know? And if they don't know that part of you, you might not even realize it, but you might be kind of hiding other things about you to help hide that. And then before you know it, do they really know you? Or do they know, like, kind of a facade, so to speak, you know, like, how much are you really being honest with them about, and how genuine of a relationship can you have and build when you're not honest with somebody about that part of yourself? I think your relationships are just healthier, and I think you enjoy them more if you can just relax, be yourself, and just be out. If they ask, or if it comes up and you can just talk about it like it's no big deal, I think the mental de-stress that you're afforded with that is like invaluable as far as communicating person to person goes and building relationships.
Just to kind of give a time frame, how many years were you stealth?
9, nearly exactly. There was probably only a 3 to 6 month period before I actually started physically transitioning that I lived pretty stealth as well. I mean, I went ahead and let my immediate family and the people in my immediate realm that kind of had to know that we're going to stay in my life, I let them know. But I really wasn't out to anyone else at that time either. So just slightly over 9 years if you include the whole enchilada. And that's a real long time to not be genuine about who the hell you are.
I know that in a previous episode, you had gone over your coming out story. In the time leading up to whatever you personally would consider to be like your no longer being stealth phase, how did that feel for you? I guess also, like, how much time passed between like your decision of like, hey, maybe I should
be publicly out and actually doing it?
Yeah. And your emotions during that time?
The answer to that is just almost as terrifying as how long as I was psychotically stealth, which was 9 years, is a matter of seconds, really. It was like I knew it, and then I had to do it immediately. And I immediately started doing it. So that means I called Kason and said, all right, help me make a Facebook page right now. I need to come out publicly. He did counsel me. Are you sure? This is Facebook. It's permanent. You can't undo this crap. I'm like, no, it's got to happen right now. Right now. So that everything that I'm about to do and all the mess that I've made in my life up to this point is not in vain. Because it surely would have been if I had tried to do what I'm doing now and not change that about my life. There is no way that this would be working. Umbrella would not be working. No activism would be working. Nothing would be working. You can't help things progress by staying that stealth. Not to say that everyone needs to be out marching and waving their P flag. You know, that's not for everybody. Like, just, you know, joining the army is not for everybody. But there have to be some that it is for to make the change happen. So now I'm one of those.
Is there anything else that you would like people to know either about that experience for you or any potential advice that you would give?
The thing I would want people to know most is how mentally and emotionally and, if you want to get real on it, physically damaging that was. To me, as a whole, that whole thing, living like that for that long and all the different ways that I hid myself, it did quite a few things, but I think the biggest ones were it gave me the mistaken impression that I was not even really someone that should be hidden. I felt like I was something that needed to be hidden. I feel like I lost part of my humanity in it because I felt more like an it than a person. And that was kind of incredibly damaging and ostracizing. Like, it's weird to say that you ostracize yourself from society, but I kind of did. And it also kind of hampered my ability to be able to communicate with the people closest to me. Like, it was like I forgot how to be genuine and how to have relationships properly and friendships and what that meant and like how to communicate to make all that happen. And I had to nearly reteach myself how to do that. And like what that was and what that looked like. I had to like go back to grade school and be like, all right, you've done this before? Really? It's not that hard. You just talk to people, you be genuine, and you be nice. And then usually they reciprocate. Like, it sounds simple enough, you know, but when that huge roadblock was in the way, like I couldn't figure that out. So it was damaging, you know, to my personal relationships. It was damaging mentally and emotionally. And it made me feel like there was just this giant roadblock in front of my happiness, and I was able to blame trans for it. And I thought, as long as trans is there, and as long as that's my roadblock, that's my excuse, then I can just keep being angry at it, and then it's justified. And then all of the things I'm suffering at that are not my fault. All of these are incorrect thinking. They're terribly poor logic. And they got me absolutely nowhere but complete and total just disrepair, mentally, emotionally, and physically. Because when you kind of get that down mentally and emotionally, physical just comes next. It's just next in line, you know? I mean, like, when you're depressed and when you have all the self-loathing and all this crap going on, you don't take good care of yourself physically. You don't eat healthy. You don't sleep right. You're anxious. You're agitated. And so then that affects you. And then there's weight gain. And then there's other health issues. And like, they just keep mounting. And then before you realize it, physically, mentally, and emotionally, you're just kind of a miserable human being to be around, and you feel miserable. And quite often, I think you end up looking like that. You look like the physical embodiment of that miserable feeling, and you kind of do it to yourself. Like I'm not trying to speak for every other trans person out there, you know, but that's what I did. That was the result of it. And that's how it happened. And then I had to figure out how to rectify it. And for me, the only thing that wiped that slate clean and turned it around was coming out and stop lying to myself and everybody else. You know, like I wasn't lying to myself about being trans, but I was lying to myself in that there was no way to protect myself if I came out. It was just too dangerous. There was no way to fight it. There was no way I could be helped. There was nothing I could do. It had to be hidden. When in reality, it did not. There are tons of ways that you can keep yourself safe from all manner of things that go bump in the night and people out to do you harm. Lots and lots of ways. Personal security systems, support system. I mean, there's just all kinds of things. And I didn't utilize any of those. I'm a pretty intelligent guy. I run my own business. Like, that's basic logic. I could have looked for those things. I could have tried to figure it out. But it was easier to just slap all the excuses on it. So the last thing I would encourage people to do, maybe differently than I did it, if they're on that kind of same road, would be to live as comfortably as you feel able and as safe as you feel able to live out. Like, you don't, like I said before, you don't have to wave your P flag everywhere you go. But if you're in a situation where you would feel comfortable being out instead of being in the closet, do it. If you have an opportunity to be honest with somebody instead of to keep something from them, do it. Every time the opportunity presents itself to you and you feel like you're able to manage it, do it. Because that is the only thing that is going to create the change that everybody wants to see. I tell people when I do public speaking and stuff at PFLAG all the time, and they kind of ask some of these same questions, I always try and remind them that even though being out is uncomfortable, whether that is no matter what letter of the acronym you are, even though it's uncomfortable and sometimes it makes people look at you in a certain way and you may not want to be looked at, if all of the people that did it initially to get the rights movement started for us in Stonewall had not done that, had they not voluntarily made themselves feel uncomfortable and be willing to be looked at and viewed at in ways they did not want to be viewed, we wouldn't be able to be sitting here having this conversation, this meeting, this gathering, this space, these resources, or this anything. We would be like 20 or 30 years backwards, and we'd be starting it all over. So it's basically just like the second Stonewall, and we have to do it all over again now. And this time it's not just going to be the gay community. Now it's got to include the trans community. So we basically have to do the same thing so that all of those people and those wonderful queens at Stonewall did for us. And we have pretty much just have to stand up and let people see who we are and what we look like. And then we basically look like everybody else. We are like everybody else. There's really not that much different. So lesson today, kids, is don't hide. It's bad. It's just a bad idea. Just don't do it. If you don't have to, don't. Even if it's for your job, try and find a job that's supportive. If you need help, reach out for that. We have resources for that crap. We got more resources for things now than I ever even thought there would be.
Thank you for coming on the show again.
Thanks for having me.
Like this episode? Tell someone about it. Have any questions or concerns? Please feel free to send an email to transfieldguide@gmail.com. Also be sure to subscribe to keep up with the latest episodes. Stay safe, and remember, I'm proud of you.